Are you forming real relationships with your potential and current customers? Or are you only really touching base when you're keen to make a sale or upsell? Think of it this way. Which of the following appeals to you more? A, having someone who you haven't heard from in ages randomly reach out to you with a sales offer. Or B, hearing from someone fairly regularly, building a friendship with them, and then going to them when you're ready to buy. You are your business, and relationships go a long way. You need to be thinking long-term about the people in your network. These are great quotes from business strategist and marketing mentor Annalise Warne about relationship marketing. It's another fab episode, and I know you're going to love it. Let's jump in. Welcome to the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, a bubbly, driven, chocolate-obsessed, positive thinker and action taker who helps business owners just like you overcome their fear of failure to step up and show up in this scary online world. Because I know you have a message that needs to be heard, and I know you want to make a big impact on the world. By becoming more visible in the online space, you can attract and retain your ideal customers. I can help you do this by putting together effective and engaging marketing strategies and copywriting at right time marketing. So feel free to book in a free 15-minute chat with me after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today I'm joined by my guest, Annalise Warne. Welcome, Annalise.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me, Leanne.
Yeah, thanks for having. Well, thanks for being on board. We did a little podcast swap, and so I've been on hers and now she's coming on mine. So it's all very exciting. So for those who don't know Annalise, I'll just read out her bio. So she is a business strategist, a marketing mentor, agency CEO, author, speaker, and mother of four little ones. After establishing a successful marketing agency that created the time and financial flexibility to live life around her young family and expand her philanthropic work, Annalise began mentoring others with purposeful ambition. She created the social marketing method as an effective, efficient framework for entrepreneurs to accelerate their influence, income, and impact. Annalise's mission is to empower and equip purpose-driven business owners to establish the profit and freedom they need to achieve their aims beyond the bottom line. I love that bio. That is so awesome.
It's so cringeworthy hearing you
say I know.
About yourself. You're like, oh, how long is this going to take?
Yes, I know, right? And like, even if you shorten it, it always feels like it goes on forever. I know, I'm the same. So I would love to hear more about your business journey before we go into the topic today.
Sure. Yeah. So as was in the bio, I started my business because I wanted to be around my family more. So at the time I had two kids. I knew we wanted to have more, and I was working, I was managing a training company, actually a nationwide training company in Melbourne, in the city. And we grew up down the coast, and we knew that by the time our kids went to school that we wanted to be back down there. And so when that time came, I asked for more flexible time from work, and that was declined. So that would have meant that, and I was working 4 days a week at the time, and I was asked to then work five. So I think it might have, so that would have meant I was traveling 2 hours to work, working a full day, and traveling 2 hours home. With young kids, that means they would be in bed when I left, and they would be in bed when I got home. And that's not what I wanted for my family. I wanted to be around more, like 3 days a week was kind of my ideal. And so I quit. And so my husband and I started a marketing agency. And my husband's a carpenter, so we went into the niche of construction. We did that for, a year or two, probably two. And we then got him off the tools. We were both working from home, and we had managed to sustain ourselves with this income and work from home around our kids. And so more and more I spoke with other mums who wanted the same thing, who wanted a job that they loved, who wanted to work from home, who didn't want to, you know, go out of the office to something that they was just paying the bills. So I started mentoring mums to DIY their own marketing, and we would jump on Zoom and we would, you know, get into the back end and help them build their websites and Facebook ads and whatever it was that they needed. And then that became a more formal program, which is now our marketing mentor program that gives people access to our agency team. And so that's really how it evolved. It started my business for me and for my family. And it grew because I wanted to help other women. Like, it was so important to me to be able to, and special to be ahead of that at time with my family and have breakfast together and all of that, that I wanted to help other people. And then as the finances were kind of steady, I realized that if I still wanted to grow, then my why needed to be bigger. And so now we really use our agency to provide non-cost marketing work to some nonprofits. And then we use the time and money freedom to be able to, you know, delve into issues that we care about and help out at, you know, charities, and one day go overseas and, you know, help do build schools and all of that stuff, but not right now. So that's the journey.
I love that. And because it comes from, you know, the heart that you've been there and you wanted that flexibility, and the story you shared, you know, about the, yeah, 4 days into five and it's the travel and not being able to see the kids. I think that resonates with so many like mums out there. Like, for me personally, it was, I mean, I wasn't commuting 2 hours, but with traffic, it could have been an hour, and I wasn't allowed to leave. Well, it was frowned upon if I left before 5:30. And if I left 5:30 on the dot, it was still frowned upon. It was kind of expected to work a little bit later. And then I'm like, that's not going to work. If my daughter's bedtime when she was just a bub was quite late because by the time I got home. And so I can really see there's listeners out there probably right now have started their business very similar reasons too. I can just, it's a trend, and I think it's so awesome. There's so many female mum business owners out there who have given it a good crack and had people like yourself to get that, you know, that advice, and people like me too, obviously, to make it all happen.
And why not? Like, it's 2021 and we can. We've got the technology too. I think we're just so conditioned that, you know, you go to school, you go to university, you get a 9-to-5 job, and that's what you do. And it really kind of took unlearning that to go, no, it's okay to be working from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. and then work, you know, 1 to 3 when they sleep, and then do, you know, I don't know, 8 till 10 or like whatever kind of works for you. And that's still a legitimate way of working and earning money and running your business. And you don't have to be working 9-to-5.
It's so funny to say that. I was literally having this conversation yesterday that I'm still in that mindset of working 9-to-5. Like, even in my own business, like full-time my business. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I may only start at 10 o'clock or whatever after school drop off. And if I go for a run after that, but then I'm still like, no, mummy's not going to finish until 5:30. Like, I have like, no, that it hasn't clocked over to 5:30 yet, or it's not after 5. I've got work to do. And yeah, and I feel a bit of that guilt. And it's so funny because when I do like my networking events and I might start there 7:30 in the morning, I'm still feeling like I have to finish up at 5. And if I finish at 3, I'm like, oh no, there's still a couple of days. Yeah. So I've still got to work through that, even because I do have my eldest at school and my youngest at daycare, preschool 3 days, and grandparents the other 2 days. I'm still thinking that unless I'm working till 5:30, I'm not working efficiently. Like,
you're not working. Yeah. You're not doing enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we put that pressure on ourselves, don't we? Yeah. The other hard thing can be if you love it so much, and I know so many of my clients find this, that they just, their business is almost an obsession and they love it. And I'm definitely in this category too.
Yeah, me too.
Switch off and turn the computer off, because, I mean, I was talking with you earlier about how I spent the morning with my daughter. She was here and I was trying to get my website done, and I should have been spending time with my daughter because this is our morning to spend together. But I didn't. And so there's still that guilt either way. Like, oh, anyway.
Yes.
We're all just figuring it out, and it's peaks and troughs and, you know, roundabouts, and
I know,
right? Doing the best we can.
Well, see, I also, I feel like I don't have the freedom to work whenever, because my brain turns to mush like at nighttime. Once I've finally got the girls to bed, I cannot really do any work. Like I'm just so over it. And so I feel like I kind of only have that time. And then, but then again, it's like finish up. All right, now go prepare dinner. And I never really gave myself that break apart from a small lunch break or something. Yeah. So yeah, I've got to work on that a little bit and go, all right, I'm just going to take this afternoon off and that's okay. I can do that. And
I'll finish at 3:30 and do school pickup and be like, okay, yeah, now we're going to go for a walk as a family and enjoy that. Exactly. Enjoy the freedom that you actually have. Like take exactly. advantage of it. Otherwise, kind of what's the point, right?
I know. Well, I mean, the other day I did go watch my youngest at gymnastics, like on a Wednesday, my mother-in-law takes her. And so I did go, well, after my networking, I'm just going to go on to that instead. And she was so excited, waving every 5 seconds, you know, you're watching, mommy, you're watching. Very cute. So these are things that we get to do by having the business. Yeah. Now, so moving on to the topic, we're all about relationship marketing is kind of the theme. What is it? Now, I know we're saying offline, it is a little bit hard to define, but let's just talk about that. Relationship marketing, how does it compare to like transactional marketing?
Yeah, I think more and more we are a values-driven society and we really care about that. And people buy from people, and putting that at the forefront and putting that human connection, you know, that human to human connection as a focus, especially as service-based business owners, into everything that you do. Because if you're a service-based business owner like you and I, coaches, consultants, you know, graphic designers, whatever, you are your business. They work with you. They're not just buying a, you know, something off the shelf. You are your business. And relationship goes a really long, long way. And it's, you really have to have the long-term view on it and not be thinking, okay, I'm going to be networking because I want to know what I can get out of it. And that's, you know, the first thing that you spout out. But it needs to be, okay, I know that I'm going to build my business using people, like people in my business and people outside. And that's going to be the most efficient way, because that is going to create customers for life. That's how you're going to create relationships for collaborations, where you're going to get access to other markets, other, you know, other ecosystems of people. And we can dig into some examples soon, but basically that's what it is it's thinking about coming from that heart of service, which all good businesses should come from. And yes, you want to sell. So no one's saying, you know, you don't want to sell, but when you're thinking about relationships, it really is about how can I serve this person? How can I support them? Because you know that if everybody is doing that, then everybody wins.
Yeah, I totally agree. And with, you know, our listeners being in the health and wellness space, I think it's even like it really, really is important, because especially your clients, guys, I'd be like, they've got to either open up to you, like if it is like your counselor or psychologist, like they've got to really trust you. They're going to be opening up and maybe saying things I've never told anyone, or maybe it's some sort of health concerns that they're feeling uncomfortable with and embarrassed to talk about their, you know, food intolerances, that, you know, and their gut issues and all that. So they've got to be able to build up that trust with you and know that you are the right person to approach. So I think that is just all part of, yeah, with the networking or the socials and just kind of, they have to really connect with you. I think that's particularly important.
So what's not on my bio is that I'm actually a qualified personal trainer. So I did it. I've got a diploma in fitness and I did it for 10 years. I finished up maybe 2 years ago when the business got too much. And I always just did it as a hobby. I was running it on the side. I'd run my mum's and bub's fitness classes. I worked in a gym for 6 months before I had my first daughter. And yeah, people come in and tell you their deepest, darkest secrets. And you're like, whoa, I'm like, they're treating me like a doctor. And so, but in that face-to-face environment, you can cultivate that really easily. But in the online space, you need to be able to figure out how you can still get that across. And it is about still doing that, focusing on the person and how you can serve them. And a lot of the time that is going to be showing them who you are, because that's how we make friends, right? You talk to someone and someone starts sharing about themselves. Someone gets a little bit vulnerable and then you get a bit vulnerable. And that's how friendships start. And so that we need to take that into the online space and share a bit about ourselves so that other people feel comfortable to share a bit about themselves.
Yes, I agree with that. I even shared a video of me recently, a bit vulnerable. I said I was having a bit of a bad day, and I was a little video of there's a road or street near me called Success Avenue. And so I was walking up to do a little video of me, you know, walking up to Success Avenue, going, I'm walking up and down this thing until I feel more confident. And a few people sent me messages or commented saying, oh, thanks for sharing this. Because I just wanted to show the real side to me too. I know I am the positive thinker, but I do have my down days, and just making people realize I shouldn't just be up on this pedestal. I am human. And I think those kinds of posts, just getting real, like, you go, hey, just get real here. And especially, and I think this is the case for many business owners, you're probably doing what you've done, just like you, Annalise, because you were once in that position and you needed support. And so you may have had food intolerances. You may have once been overweight and needed, you know, to go into personal training. Maybe you once had depression and you needed counseling and a psychologist, and that really helped you. There's probably some sort of reason. And so I think don't be afraid to share your story like that, to just show that you honestly know where they are at, and it really helps people to go, oh, they get me. Yes, I want to work with this person.
Yeah, I think we do need to take it. I think some people take this too far.
Yes.
I think oversharing. Some people overshare, because yes, you also do want to think about the fact that people who are looking for help want to elevate themselves, and they want to elevate themselves by being around someone that they feel has, you know, is a level above them in that area that they want to, you know, aspire to be. So if we become too open, too kind of, you know, sharing everything, then our kind of credibility can go down a little bit, because they think, well, how can you help me if you're just like me? And so make sure that you, yes, be honest, you know, be authentic, be yourself and share, but still maintain that level of authority in, you know, that. Make sure that you are showing that you are an expert in your field and showing the successes and showing, yes, like look back to where you were and then this is where I am and yes, this is where you want exactly to go. So make sure that that is really solidified. But let's dig into some actual strategies about relationship marketing.
Sounds good.
Do you have questions you want to go through, or should I start?
Oh, go ahead. Well, I was going to ask for some examples or something. So that'd be perfect. Get into it.
Okay, cool. So for me, we have a marketing agency for tradies, and the way that I built that business initially was by building relationships. So what I did was I started connecting with other people who worked with tradies, so like builders, business coaches, and that kind of thing, and started to, so I told them that I was starting a podcast, and I had a podcast, but I was starting one. So I invited them onto this podcast that didn't exist yet.
Yeah, as you do.
But what it meant was that, and the podcast is there, it's okay. It wasn't fake, but at the time it didn't exist. And so I invited them on. And so then, because I was speaking to these people for an hour about themselves, then people start to know and like and trust you. So these business coaches started to develop an affinity with me. We started a friendship almost, you know, as much as it can be in that professional space where you don't meet people, a professional friendship.
Yeah.
And so then they knew what I did, but it wasn't because I rang them up and said, I'm a really great marketer and I have an agency for construction and you should like send your clients to me. Yeah. But I didn't speak about me at all. We spoke about them. And then of course they reciprocate, and that you've built that rapport. And then a lot of those people still 4 years down the line still send me clients, and they get 10% of whatever it is. But I can offer them that 10% because I know who they are, and they have integrity, and they're not just going to send their clients to me that aren't going to be a good fit. because their reputation is going to be on the line too. So they know that, you know, we can do a good job. And so that was the start of relationship marketing to not even our direct clients, right? But it was other industry professionals that worked with the same kind of people. And then we took it a step further and I started networking with people who I wanted, like actual potential clients who could be on the podcast. So, you know, building company CEOs and tradies and other people. And I would call successful businesses that were kind of dream clients and ask to interview them. And even some that said no, they would say, you know, not right now, you know, check back in 6 months. One client who is now a client 2 years later, because I touched base every 6 months, you know, they had a baby, I sent a baby gift. And not because I was hassling them to become a client, but just because business is about relationships. And so you never know down the line who they might refer you to or who, you know, what might actually happen, whether they're going to become a client or you might be able to help them in some way. They might be able to help you in some way. And so 2 years later, literally, and not me hassling them, there was nothing salesy about it. I just wanted him on my podcast. He became a client. And so that's another way that you can think about relationship marketing. But if you have the short-term view, that never would have happened. If I had just put that out there and thought, well, what can I get out of this person right now? Oh, they've said no. Okay, moving on. Like, no, that's not how it works. And so think strategically about long-term, about who you want in your network, about what you want your business and your life to look like, and what kinds of people and what, you know, and have a variety of people that can input into you, like mentoring wise, or be a referral, or be potential clients, or, you know, think a bit more broadly about it. So that was two examples of how we've used it to build in our agency. Now, in the mentor side of things for coaching, so we, you know, I'm a marketing mentor, so we help people DIY their own marketing. And so now what we do is we build relationships with people on social media. So we will put out content and we have a strategy for that, which Leanne is all over, so I'll leave that to her to talk to you about that. And then we engage with other accounts. We actually use social media to be social, right? It's not just about like spraying out all of this content. It's a platform for people to build relationships on. So actually engage, go and scroll through and engage and connect with people. And then whenever anybody follows you, message them, send them a message. And again, not all about you. So yes, you can say, thanks for following me. If you want more content, you can also find me here, but then flick it back to them and say, you know, tell me more about you and what you do, or what, you know, what prompted you to come and follow this content? Yeah, what are you struggling with in your health right now? Like something to connect the dots and to kind of get the tennis ball and plop it back over in their court. Yeah. Because that is how in social media you need to do it. If you just have a statement, they don't owe you anything. There's no ball in their court. You need to ask them a question and they need to hit it back with an answer. And then the same thing, you respond, you answer the question, you're pinging it back. And that is going to build relationship and be genuinely interested in people. And so, yes, you can use DMs to qualify people to see whether they're going to be a good lead and a good fit, but start with that point of, can I help this person? You know, can I serve this person and how? And we do it by talking to them about what they're struggling with right now, about where they're at, what they're excited about, and then offering content. Because we're producing all of this content, we offer them content in response, not just generic, like, oh, here's my podcast for this week, here's my podcast for this week, and be annoying people like that. But in response to, oh, you know, I've just started my website and I'm struggling, I'm not getting enough. This is actually a message I got last night, was their landing pages aren't converting. So I was like, okay, talk to me exactly about what that is. And now I have a resource that is landing pages, about what should actually be on a landing page. And I can send that to him once I know exactly what the problem that he's struggling with is. So that is how you can start to incorporate relationship marketing. And we're not going, okay, I need to get this person on the phone right now, but just developing that relationship, just being a really nice person. That's all. Just be a nice person and be good at what you do. And then the rest, and have the long-term view, and it'll come. It'll come.
I love that. And so I'm a big fan of doing the voice messages, to those DMs. So yeah. Once and I've had so many people go, like on LinkedIn, for example, oh, I didn't know you could do this voice message. That's really cool. And they may do it back in a voice message or not. And I feel like that also, it's like that extra level to, those who listened to the episode I had with Perry Pappist, he reached out to me. I sent him a voice message going, hey, thanks for connecting. Love to hear more about you. And he came back with a video message. And I'm like, what are they? So we had a bit of a joke about that. But we've since met in person now. He's with my podcast and we're looking at ways we can collaborate because he's in sales and marketing. Great collaboration, right? So I know it's really useful. Oh, look, I try to do those voice messages all the time, but maybe I don't. I love that idea of like, what are you struggling with and what do you need help with, or what? So say it's, I was talking to someone the other day about who does emotional eating. Hi, Stel. And it was like, oh, what do I kind of reach out? Because people aren't going to talk about their eating issues on something like LinkedIn. Mm. But you could say, oh, I saw you, you reached out to me. Do you have any food struggles right now? And that's, and they say, no, actually, I'm pretty good. But my sister or my mom or my brother or my dad or, husband has issues. And then at least you've got something to go off. I like that. Like not just a general how's business going, or tell them more about what you do. Like that bit more of a personal approach of, and then like you're just saying, you may not already have the resource, but by finding out what their need is, it helps you with the pain point thing, which I've talked about previously in the podcast. And you then create a new lead magnet or something, or a webinar.
Link them to something else. Yeah. Do a quick Google and send them someone else's thing. It doesn't have to be yours because you're still being helpful. But you do, I think I found personally, if you jump straight into the challenges question, like I think what you said about, how a more general question, like something they can answer really easily, what are you loving right now? What are you excited about? Like something a bit softer before you dive into what?
Hey, thanks for connecting.
Tell me your secrets. Like you don't know who I am. Like who the heck are you? Go away. So yes, we do need to have a little bit of, normal-ish, like you would at a cocktail party, right? It's the same thing. You wouldn't just be I don't know the right analogy to use. You wouldn't be telling them your deepest, darkest secrets as soon as you met them. You are going to start off with some more light conversation, but you do want to direct it in your area of expertise. So you're not just, again, becoming their friend, becoming just like them. Like you want to still be you and be that expert and come from that kind of lens. On LinkedIn, how I've got around this, actually just this week, and it worked amazingly. Like my calendar is full for the next 2 weeks. I told my EA, I was like, you need to stop sending these messages because she sends all of the original messages and then for people who respond, then I dig in. No, she sends the same one, she knows, she sends it to everyone I ask her to, and then whoever responds, it actually is me, but just the first generic one is she sends it. And the message was something like, I should have it in front of me, but it's, hi, name. Thanks so much for connecting. I saw you were in the coaching space. I'd love to hear how things are going. Do you have some time to catch up this or next week? It's like just something really similar to that, because then they know exactly who I am. They know why I've connected with them. And I've invited them on a call, which I normally wouldn't do because I'm busy, but I just wanted to try this new strategy.
Why not?
Because more and more I've been finding people on LinkedIn. Normally I've been on other social media platforms, but more and more LinkedIn I've been collaborating. So that's why we did it. And she did it for 4 days, and literally my calendar is like, okay, wow, we need to stop because we're launching in 3 weeks' time, and a half weeks' time.
Are those I don't have time. Are they 15 minute, half an hour? Have you set
just
a time limit?
I haven't done any yet because they're starting next week.
Yes.
But I've done them in the past less less, you know, intentionally less bulk at one time. But these people are such a broad range of really intelligent, smart people, and who knows what's going to become of it. And yes, you're still going to get the messages back going like, what are we going to talk about? And why, you know, no thanks, I'm too busy. And all of that's fine. Like, you're not going to be a yes for everyone, and you don't want to be because there's not enough hours in the day. But this year I'm putting a lot more emphasis on relationships and collaborations, and just going into it going, I don't know what's going to happen here. And even if we just meet each other and I know what you do and you know what I do, and then as we go about business, maybe I can refer you to someone, or maybe, you know, I'll see you somewhere else in 2 years, or maybe, you know, who knows. But more and more I am convinced that business growth and business fulfillment comes from people. So people in, like, building up my team, we've done a whole heap of that because I've just had my fourth baby. We've done a whole heap of that in the last few months. There's now 9 of us on our team, which scares the crap out of me sometimes. You're like, wow, okay, big responsibility. All right. But at the same time, that frees me up to do the work that I love the most. And so I'm getting that fulfillment from that. And we can grow now because we have the capacity to grow more. And it's the same on the outside, is relationships with other people in similar spaces doing, you know, with similar values. It's relationships is what life's about. And if we can bring it into our business, then it makes it better.
Yes. Oh, I agree with all of that. That's just awesome. This may be a stupid question, but why do you think it's important for business owners, especially in the health and wellness space, to prioritize this stuff, like the actual benefits? Is it because people are more likely to work with them in the long run, you know, because they have really connected? I'm actually doing putting a lot more emphasis into the relationship marketing right now. So going back and reconnecting with people, and I plan to spend more time doing that bit of research to find the articles I can send them and go, hey, I saw this and thought of you and whatever. And yeah, so is it just that people do feel valued a little bit more, and then it is more likely to lead to business? Is that ultimately what you're moving towards?
Yeah, I think it's about becoming someone that they know and they like and they trust. Like, if you think about, you know, your favorite place to go and eat, or your favorite, you know, boutique to go and shop at, or your favorite, you know, insert whatever here, it's probably not just about the thing. It's probably not just about the coffee or just about the food or just about the clothes. It's probably to do with the way that you felt that when you went there. So it might be that, like, I used to work at the cafe when I was at uni, and the owner was this, you know, very charismatic, flirtatious Italian man who said everyone's names, you know. Like, he called me Antonella, even though
close enough.
He would cycle through. Antonella and Antonia and Elisa. Like, okay, good. I've worked here for 6 months. Let's, like, anyway. But people loved him and people would come back. And yes, the coffee was amazing, but even if the coffee next door was better, right, they would still come there because they felt special, because they felt seen, they knew him, he shared about the family, you know, like, you got to know someone. And that's, we're wired that way. We're wired to connect with people. And so if you establish that connection, why would they go anywhere else? Like, if you're an expert and they like you, why would they move on? Like, there's absolutely no reason why they would move on. Like, they might not buy from you now, but if you're great at what you do and they really like who you are, and you've established that relationship where they know what they can get from you for free, so they're going to be like, wow, I can get that. Like, that's the free stuff. Imagine what the results I'm going to get when I'm getting, you know, I'm paying for them are. Then you've got them. They're going to be a customer for life. As long as you deliver, as long as you can deliver, yes, the goods that you say you can deliver, then they're going to be a customer for life. And in the health and wellness space, the secret to delivering, most of you already probably know this, but we can get sucked into the trap of not doing this, is providing the ultimate solution. And I talk a lot about this when I'm helping my clients craft their packages, because I fell into this trap when I was a personal trainer. I started off and I would just do one-off sessions and then they wouldn't show up the next week. And I'd go what I thought was going to be, you know, 2.5 hours of sessions and one person would come. And I'd be like, oh, great. Instead of $250, I've got 50. That wasn't worth my time. Like, and so I learned pretty quickly that I had to offer the ultimate solution. So if someone came to me and said, I want to lose 20 kilos, we had to dig into, well, why? Exactly why is that? Okay, it's because of your daughter's wedding. Well, then we've got 12 weeks together. What we need to do is 3 sessions a week. You need to have an accountability buddy. You need to send me photos of your food. Like, and we crafted this package so that she wasn't just buying PT sessions and would come once a week for, you know, $50 a week, but she was buying the outcome. She was buying the result. And so you get paid better. They show up, or even if they don't, you get paid and your clients get the result, the actual result they came to you for. So if you have that piece where you can get them the results and you are someone that they like spending time with, or, you know, is helping them, then you have a customer for life.
Yeah, very, very true. Very true. I think if you can give that amazing experience, like you said, why would they go anywhere else if they really connected well with you? It's like, well, if they do go to anyone else, they'll probably feel extremely guilty and you don't know how long it will last. They might come back to you anyway. Mm. But I just, in terms of the best platforms to use, like online, phone, face-to-face, a combination of all three, what do you recommend?
Yeah, so we have done this mostly online. Hang on. So with the podcasting, we did this via email, and then obviously we were face-to-face on a podcast, and then it was email after that. When we have been doing relationship marketing with the mentoring side, it's all been DMs on Facebook, DMs on Instagram, DMs on LinkedIn. And it's only just like this week that I've invited people onto phone calls to be chatting, because that is going to be a new focus this year. But like I said, I've had to stop it because it was worked a little too well. So I'll keep you posted on how that goes. But I think probably DMs is the most manageable for time. Because yeah, it can take over, and we don't want to be, I mean, it's a really good use of time, but you still need to be boundaries, right?
Yeah. So I was going to say, because, like, you know, networking is an amazing form of relationship marketing. And my listeners know that I, you know, do a lot of networking. I'm the team leader of the BX, and I go to the business chamber every now and again as well, and have my own meetup. So, like, for me, I guess it's meeting the people face to face and seeing their faces. And some of them are in a Facebook group, like some of you guys maybe in that Facebook group. And so that they're more likely to engage because they actually know who I am. They met me face to face. And some of them have, I think, you know, have entered that friend zone, and that's as far as ever going to go. Others are like, at some point I'll, you know, do work with you. Don't know when that'll be. It could be another 2 years time. Who knows? But for me, yeah, that's probably another key part of my strategy. It's getting out in front of people, and, you know, with the networking I do, it's often the referring people, collaboration partners, and that kind of keeps things moving along as well. So that might be, yeah, your approach. You might want to try the DMs. You might do the phone calls. It really comes down to you and your clients of what you think is going to work best. So
yeah, play around with that. Face-to-face is great, but it's often really hard, I found, to get in the right room with the right people. And it takes so much time. It's like you have to drive there. You have to find a park. You have to get dressed in the full outfit. Your pants and your top has to actually match. You have to then potentially sit through this 90-minute, you know, presentation of something. Do you know what I mean? And for me, because I've only ever wanted to work short amounts of not full time, I don't have that time. Plus, I'm regional, remember? So I'm 2 hours from Melbourne. And, like, I have a 6-week-old right now. So there's just no, like, and I've always kind of had a baby at home or some, you know, something that we are juggling that isn't in care. And my husband works from home, so, like, we can do that. He's got him right now. But for me, the face-to-face never worked, and I couldn't, I mean, it works. It's great once you get the right person, but it can take a lot of time to do that. And I just found bang for buck, like in terms of optimizing my time, then online is fantastic because I can send 20 DMs in, 10 minutes. Probably 20 minutes. And I can connect with those people, whereas I would not have been able to do that if I'd gone to a room, because one, I have to maybe like interrupt people's conversations and, you know, actually meet them first. And if they're not a good fit, well, I'm stuck in this conversation for 10 minutes so that I'm not rude. Yes. And it's like, it's a doctor and I'm like, okay, good. Like, it's really great to know you, but we're just not, there's no synergy here in terms of collaboration or anything like that. So, for me, that's why I didn't go down that route. But if you can, if there is somewhere that is totally your target market, like for you, the Chamber of Commerce, if that is like full of your ideal people and you're really building those relationships and their referral partners and all of that, then totally worth your time. So you're totally right, Leanne. It's very much personal preference about where you're at in business, you're at in life. Like, think about, for me, the kids, and where your clients are at and what and how they purchase and who they buy from. Like, do they put a big emphasis on referrals, or do they just, you know, I don't know. Do they,
yes.
do they like to Google, and they like to whatever their preference is. So find out how your people buy too.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for that. I mean, look, I thought I knew a bit. I do know a bit about relationship marketing, but you've just shone a light on a whole bunch of other stuff that I haven't done yet. So really appreciate the chat. It's been awesome. So I always ask my guests this, and it is, how do you manage your health and wellness?
Oh, with a 6-week-old Leanne, it's a bit tough.
Well, as you're saying, he's a good sleeper. So at least you know you're getting sleep.
He's a great sleeper. My normal thing is that I will get up at 5 o'clock and I will spend an hour for me. So I will wake up slowly. I will journal. I will, get really present with what my goals are, and then do some exercise, maybe some meditation, that kind of thing. So I spend an hour on my brain and my body. Admittedly, that has not happened so much in the last couple of months. I'm probably like maybe twice a week at the moment. But that's okay. That's okay. Fitting in some, for me, it's some form of physical activity every day, whether it's a walk with the kids or whatever. Ideally, I would not have the kids around me, would be my perfect model. But it's prioritizing me first so that I can fill my cup so that I can pour from it all day. That's my strategy.
Yes, I love that. We had a recent episode about self-care, so that's what it's all about. You have to put your own breathing mask on first before you can, look after everyone else. Yeah. And how can we connect with you?
Come on over to Instagram. It's annalise.warn. The spelling, I'm sure, will be somewhere over here. And I've got the Social Marketing Method Facebook group as well, where I'm live every week doing free training. So come join the party.
Sounds great. Oh, so thank you so much again. It's been a really great chat. And I've enjoyed a little podcast swap. It's always lots of fun. I'll make sure I reshare our episode as well.
With everyone. That was a really good one.
Yeah, that was fun. So thank you. And thank you to you, dear listener, for tuning in. You can find show notes for the episode at marketingandme.com.au. If you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating and a review via your podcast app or at ratethispodcast.com/marketingandme. If you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton. And you might also be interested in my marketing membership, the Digital VIPs, which features monthly masterclasses, group coaching, and other little bonuses. Just check out the membership section at righttimemarketing.com.au. And you're also welcome to check out my website to view my portfolio and gain a better understanding of all the awesome stuff I can do for you in your growing health and wellness business. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.